This cassette tape contains Bible teaching regarding Revelation and End Time Truth by David. The title of this message is Three Missiles, Three Beasts.
Sometimes we see some things in the scriptures one way, and a little while later they seem to us another way. And I'd like for you to get in the mind or the attitude of looking at things perhaps differently than you saw them the last time. You got the point? There are some scriptures in the book of Revelation. And if I had time, I don't feel that I should go into all the details tonight. But if I had time, I would talk to you about how the book of Revelation describes the anti-ballistic missile system. How many of you have heard of the ABM? ABM. How many have heard of this? Now, today, quickly, I'm going to talk about the ABM, which is the anti-ballistic missile system. I want to talk about the MIRV, multiple independently targetable reentry vehicle, and I'm not drunk. That's the way they say it. I'd like to talk from some scriptures in Joel, Isaiah, and Micah. I'll talk about a three-headed MIRV for the Minuteman, Series 3 ICBM. ICBM, do you know what that means? Intercontinental Ballistic Missile. About a ten-headed MIRV for the submarine Poseidon. And that's enough till I get to the surprise part. In the book of Revelation, it says of these three beasts, that one of the beasts comes out of the water, and the other comes out of the earth. How many remember that? Now, the water beast comes from Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. The earth beast comes from 13:10. Now, it says some interesting things about this beast that comes up out of the earth. He, out of his mouth proceeds three things: fire, smoke, and brimstone, the mouth of the beast that comes out of the earth. It tells us in the book of Revelation that the beast that comes up out of the sea or the water has 10 horns, the symbol of horn is power and might. It's a peculiar thing, but in the book of Revelation it also teaches us that the Antichrist, his name is Abaddon, or anybody remember? Apollyon. Apollyon is Greek, and now we call it Apollo. Does that remind you of any missile name? What's the king of the missile systems, please? Apollo missile. The king of the systems. And it says it has, they had a prince over them, and his name was Apollo in the English equivalent. Now, in the book of Revelation, remember that the one that comes up out of the earth has got three, but the one that comes up out of the sea has got 10. Now, I'd like to make mention of the fact that 2 years ago, on June the 10th, we tested our Series 3 ICBM, and on the head of that missile that used to have one atomic bomb, we now place three atomic bombs, and each bomb, after it's set up, goes around the world, has the potential or possibility that it will separate after it goes for a while, and each of the bombs, I hope you can get the idea there from that drawing. Each of the bombs, after separation, will go to separate targets. That's why they call it a multiple, independently targetable reentry vehicle. And by programming the name of certain cities to each one of these bombs, one missile can now drop three bombs on cities 4,000 miles apart. It's kind of like a triple-barrel shotgun. Except it goes after three birds in different directions. The ICBM comes up out of silos in the ground. It says that the beast that comes up out of the earth will have three destructive forces: fire, smoke, and brimstone. That kind of sounds like a bomb anyway, doesn't it? All right. Then, in a peculiar way, at the same time, we developed for the submarine fleet the Poseidon missile, not the Polaris. And this missile, when fired from the Polaris-type tubes of a submarine, has, of all things, 10 atomic bombs on the head of the missile. Thus, a submarine equipped with 16 of these missile launchers has the potential, one submarine can drop on the continent of Europe or Asia 160 atomic bombs, each one landing on its own targeted city. And this is perfected. It works. I think I better stop here and tell you a little bit about myself. I know what I'm talking about. I'm an electronic engineer, and I've built the sub-rock missile. I set up the whole production line for the sub-rock missile. It's a missile that goes out of a torpedo tube. It goes through the water for a while like a fish, then it flies through the air like a bird, then it dives back down and goes way down deep into the ocean where it explodes with an atomic bomb. I built that missile. I know the parts in it. I'm familiar. Do you understand? And it's true that I did that thing with that typewriter, a little ball on the typewriter that's in the office back there. By the way, if it doesn't work, don't call. One of the problems was that statically that we had it designed at work, but dynamically it would not. And so I modified the detent mechanism and the little grooves on the bottom of the ball are my invention. And have you ever seen the IBM typewriter that gives you a wide M and a narrow I? Called the executive typewriter. Well, all of the permutation and coding system that makes the carriage space differently for each character. I invented that whole system down there in the bottom that makes it work that way. And I've received over $5,000 extra dollars in extra pay for that system. Though, how many know that usually engineers don't get extra money? It's just part of your job. See? And I was down in Brazil the other day, and I picked up the telephone and I called my wife in Harrisburg. Now, they took my voice and put it on a radar set. They beamed the radar up to a satellite in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, then it went right back down to New York City, where it was picked up on another radar set, and then it was sent to my wife in Harrisburg, and we talked with each other just as clear as you talk next door. Fantastic. We're in a fantastic age. Now, the reason I'm so interested in this is that many years ago, I built that radar set. I was in charge of the industrial engineers that built the actual radar reflector that was pointed at that stationary orbit. And also, these two hands built some of the parts that are in that satellite, and they still charge me for the call. $48. By the way, the bill is paid and the offering's over. When I was on submarines many years ago in the United States Navy, I was the first enlisted man to go through the atomic bomb school in the Navy. And many things have happened in my life for many years which qualify me to tell you some of these things. I'm not going to tell you any secrets, but I'm going to tell you released information about these missile systems. Because of the fact that we invented these two missiles, we got scared that the Russians would get something like it. Therefore, our engineers came up with a new system, and they called it the ABM, Anti-Ballistic Missile System. In this system, the concept is that we will have two kinds of missiles, one the Spartan, the other the Sprint. I have shown a map here. The X's indicate where the Spartans will be placed. The Spartan missile is the largest, strongest, most powerful missile. It will fit on top of a modified Apollyon or Apollo, and it will have on the head of that missile 100 Hiroshima bombs. I mean, that was a big firecracker at Hiroshima, but this is 100 on the top of it. Our concept is, and the way we intend to use it, that we'll suppose that a missile is coming from the other side of the Earth. Our early warning radars pick it up, and it's flying at us, and we've got it about here, and we say, uh-oh, this missile is headed for Champaign, Illinois. Then we hurry up and find which golf course the president's on. Help him get a dime so he can run to the IT&T telephone system. It's still flying along. It's got 20 minutes now from the time we pick it up till it's all over. He gets on the red telephone and he calls the generals and he says, this is it. Then he picks up the phone and he calls Moscow. He said, did you really? And they says, yep, we did. I mean, that's what this thing's all about. He says, push the button. This is the last day. Up from these silos will go the Spartan missiles. They will fly as fast as they can and intercept the path of the enemy missile as it's coming toward us. Then, before the enemy missile gets where it ought to be, we're going to blow up 100 Hiroshima bombs on top of Canada. That's why when the ABM system was announced that very week, the president went to Canada and also to Mexico. He told them, don't worry, we'll pay for whatever happens. Now, technically, the concept is when we blow up our bomb, it's going to make a fireball 4,000 miles big. And we hope that it's big enough that their missile flying through it melts or blows up. That's the whole concept of the ABM system. How many are learning something here tonight, the way this whole thing is designed to work? But what if those foxy Russians send that thing out for Champaign and change it to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, when it's in the middle of the course? Now I'm the one that's worried. We've got another thing up our sleeve, and it's called the Sprint. And on top of, you see, if their missile misses the big fireball that we're going to put up there, then in each city, every city and every military installation will have its own sprint. The sprint is the fastest vehicle known to man. That's why they call it a sprint. Very fast in the short run. It goes straight up. No guidance system in it. It's just straight up. And on top of Champaign, Illinois, they plan to blow up one Hiroshima bomb 50 miles above your own city. They feel that the headache that you'd get is a lot better than what you'd get if that bomb went all the way through. And with the big fireball up there, they got a pretty good idea then that it won't get through, and their bomb will blow up 50 miles up. Now, all of us know that atomic bombs make lots of noise and very big, but here's something that maybe you haven't thought of before. When the atomic bombs blow up way up there, there's no air. Therefore, there's no concussion and no shock waves. Therefore, sound, pressure, destruction caused by, you know, the force of these waves is mitigated as it comes through the atmosphere. Well, first it's not even transmitted, but then the part that does start to go through is mitigated, and finally, hopefully, it won't hurt very bad. How many remember that only a short time ago, people were very upset, I believe it was on a Saturday, in the Aleutian chain, and people were walking around with some signs saying, "Don't test the bomb." I remember that. You know what they were testing? They were testing the warhead for the Spartan missile. And that warhead contained 100 Hiroshima bombs. That's why they're still having small earthquakes up there, because that thing is still shaking from that bomb thing there. How about that? This is the way we are right now. Our scientists have gotten the idea that perhaps our brilliance will save us. How many know that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. I think that we're going to build this system, but I don't think it's going to work. Now, how many remember what the name of the Antichrist is and what's the number of his name? What is it? How many remember that? 666. The name and the number of his name is 666. All right. I'd like to remind you for just a minute that the three-headed Merv for the Minuteman, ICBM, comes up out of the earth just like the first beast. The ten-headed Merv for the submarine Poseidon comes up out of the sea just like the second beast. That the book of Revelation calls his name Abaddon, Apollyon, just like the Apollo missile. Oh, by the way, how many times does a coincidence have to be a coincidence before it's more than a coincidence? Two, three, four. How many times do we have to hit it before you say he's got something? Well, let's try a few more. Now, so that you don't think that I am politically oriented, and hopefully you'll never know whether I'm a Republican or Democrat, I would like to say that everybody believes in the ABM system. If you're Democrat, you believe in the Sentinel. If you're Republican, you believe in the Safeguard. The difference is where it'll be built. The Sentinel will be built in Ohio because they voted Democratic. The Safeguard will be built in Republican states. Does that offend you for me to tell you that many political decisions are based that way and military decisions as well? No? I guess you're big enough to know that, aren't you? All right. On March the 28th, 1969, President General Eisenhower died. This was a day of destiny, and on the day we turned to each other, some of the spiritual people turned and said, this seems to be the end of an era. For really, it was the end of World War II. It was the end of the giants of World War II. Shortly thereafter, the Frenchman, de Gaulle, died, and that was it. It was on that day that the Congressional Conference on the Military Budget and National Priorities met. And then they asked for the money and introduced to the United States the ABM system. It's the first time that they ever, that we ever knew anything about the ABM system was on that date. And they asked for a congressional appropriation of $666 billion to build the ABM system. Funny number to use. Wonder why the cost estimators figured out 666. Because his name and the number of his name is what? What's the root of all evil, please? Love. Say it right.
Love.
Say it right. Love of money is the root of all evil, not money. How many understand the difference? You say, I'm not finding fault with you if you're rich. How many of you know that poor people have the love of money, too? No. It's not money that's the root of all evil. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're bad. Might be an indicator, but it doesn't mean it's... No. How many know that there are a lot of rich Christians? A lot of rich men turn to Christ, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, it's the love of money. It's the motivating factor. It's not what you do, it's why you do it. How many understand that? Now, in this case, the 666, I believe, will be spent on the ABM system. But I wonder what's motivating the whole thing. What's behind it? What is it that's causing us to have wars and rumors of wars constantly? Always. The love of what?
Money.
Now in Revelation chapter 13, last verse, it says, now his name and the number of his name was 666. How many remember that? Well, it's still so if you don't remember it. Now, someone turned to 1 Kings 10:14, and someone else turned to 2 Chronicles 9:13, and please read out of the King James, the one Jesus used. No, it wasn't the one Jesus used. It's the one I memorized from. Who's got 1 Kings 10:14, please? What's it say?
Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603.6 pounds of gold.
What's 603.6? What's that mean?
666.
There's an interesting Bible fact. Give it to me in 2 Chronicles 9:13.
Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603.6 pounds of gold.
Now, if you don't catch any Kings, grab it in Chronicles, it's important. 666. Every Jew knew what 666 meant back then. It's heavy, oppressive taxes. You see, Solomon taxed the nation of Israel with 666, G-O-L-D, that's money. You know that, don't you? Now, the love of what? Is the root of what? All right. And 666, the Bible defines as the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year, which was heavy, oppressive taxes. How many Bible students remember what happened when Solomon died? And Rehoboam and what happened then? Yeah, what was it? Rehoboam went up to get the crown from the northern 10 tribes. And they said, but 666 is too heavy a tax load, right? Heavy oppressive taxes. It's too much to bear. You've got to release the tax load from it. And what did Rehoboam say? The weight of my finger will be like my father's thigh. You remember the story? Well, some of you do, but those that don't, it's still so. Then the northern 10 tribes said something that I think is quite significant. They said, Israel, to your tent. Judah, see to your king. And what they were saying was, you guys pay the 666, we're going home. We're getting a new king. After that, it broke the back of the kingdom. How many see? At this point, Israel, which was united, powerful, a great history, now becomes a divided nation, and to this day is still divided. And what was the division over? 666, love of, which is a root of. What did Solomon do with his 666? He set up stables. How many have heard of Solomon's stables? How many have heard of Solomon's army? How many have heard of the ships of Tarshish? Shields of gold for all the soldiers. With the shields of gold and the soldiers, Solomon then built ships of Tarshish, took his soldiers, hold on now, to foreign countries where he fought the war on other people's soil, creating great commerce at home. Sounds kind of close, doesn't it? But Lord willing, you'll never find out if I'm a Republican or Democrat. Because how many know that this is not a political issue? This is something much higher than a political issue. The question is, can military preparedness ever save a nation? Now, if you ask the military and the industrial military complex, what will they say? But how many know that a nation with no military preparedness can, when God puts his blessing on that nation, overnight turn shipyards into producing Liberty ships one a day, tanks and planes without number, and in less than 6 months have an operating army on two fields of battle? And in less, or just a little over 4 years, completely win a global war when God is on your side.
For the second part of this message by David Ebal, entitled Three Missiles, Three Beasts, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.